Good morning. It's good to have you with us. So however you're connecting with us this morning, whether you're looking at the video back or whether you're live with us, it's great to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And I'm sure like me, you are anticipating that we've got a little bit of freedom perhaps coming. You know, it's being planned over the next few weeks and months. A new way of being, it will be, after 12 months of restrictions and lockdowns. Well, we can hope. But just as our opening video very clearly said, you know, it reminded us that our true freedom in life, from the enemy's lies, from the things which, the difficulties which we have as human beings, just living by our own way, all these things and what they can cause, ultimately, it's only coming through our relationship with Jesus, which brings us true freedom. You know, and we've been thinking, haven't we, over the last few weeks and months about lockdowns. And we're going to be focusing a little bit on that again today. And more particularly tying into some of those things. The one who makes all things new. Something to look forward to. So let's commit our worship to the Lord now, shall we? Let's pray. So Father God, thank you for this opportunity, this time when we can just set ourselves aside and set this time aside to spend some time with you. Lord, be with us in this place, wherever we are. We just ask that, Lord, you would meet with us by your Holy Spirit. Come. Come and minister to us. Come and challenge us. Come and stir us. But Lord, come and meet with us because you are the living God. You're the very source of life. And Lord, we want to live. We want to live and we want to live with you. So we commit our time to you and all the different elements of that which we're going to be doing. May it be to your glory and for the sake of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's really great. We've got Janie helping with Adam on the worship this morning. And we've got Mark in the technical box as well, which is even better. So, okay, we're going to worship the Lord together. So let's really enter in. And you can sing, of course, as loud as you like this morning. Thanks, guys.
Good morning. Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil what we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To seek the captives' hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive, discern. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Unleash your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop Your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more to us. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Fill our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Fill our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. Sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. Rich in love, and You're slow to anger. Your name is great, and Your heart is kind. For Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. Yes, I worship Your holy name. Yes, I worship Your name.
Thanks both. It's good to worship, isn't it? Puts things into a whole different perspective. And I hope you sang your hearts out. And just so you know, we are thinking about the plans as to when we can all get back together again to worship. It'll be a few weeks yet, but we'll let you know. But just a few other announcements, if I could. Firstly, it's communion today, and you might have lost track of dates, but first Sunday of the month, it's our communion day. So please do find some bread or a cracker and some wine or fruit juice for later in the service so you can join in with us. Another reminder, if I could, we've got our Churches Together Lent course at the moment, Caring for Creation. We're up to week 3 this week of 5, running on Tuesday mornings at 11 or Wednesday evenings at 7, and that's via Zoom. All the information you need is either on their Facebook page here on the post or through the Churches Together or EBC website, so do connect with that. And we've got worship on Wednesday this week, and that's going to be from here with Adam and Joe, I hope. And so that's something to look forward to. These have been such special times, haven't they, throughout the whole of this last year. So you can connect again this week. And then finally, of course, after the service, we have our coffee time with the opportunity to pray as well, or for some prayer and ministry. They're both at 11:30. And again, if you've not had the Zoom code for that, then just leave it in the comments and we will make sure you get one. Okay, so we're now going to move on, and I think the Doherty family and the connections and that orangutan thing, George, has been up to some other tricks again. Anyway, over to Rich. Thanks.
Hello, boys and girls. I've got a nana. I love nanas. When I eat nanas, I go bananas. Yeah! Ah! Yummy! Ha ha! Ooh, a yucky nana skin. Yeah! Ha ha ha!
Hey George, you ready to do another video for Sunday? Whoa! George, did you leave this banana skin on the floor for me to trip up?
I didn't mean to trip you up.
You didn't mean to trip me up, but did you leave it on the floor?
Yeah.
Well, that's a bit disgusting, isn't it? I've told you to tidy up.
But that's boring.
It doesn't matter if it's boring. We still need to tidy up.
Kings don't.
Kings don't have to tidy up.
No, Nebuchadnezzar or Hezekiah or the other kings had loads and loads of servants.
But George, just because you're a king doesn't mean that you can be messy and leave things lying around.
Yeah, it does. I want to be a king and have loads of servants and do whatever I want.
George, you can't just do whatever you want if you're a king.
Really?
Yeah. You have to look after your people.
Oh.
And you have to look after your country.
Oh.
And actually, you're supposed to help people follow God.
Oh.
I'm going to tell you a story, George, about two kings who thought that they could do things that even kings can't do. It's about two kings who went to the beach.
Once upon a time, there were two young kings who loved nothing better than to pack up their buckets and spades and head to the seaside. There they would spend hours creating castles all over the beach, making sure to use the best mix of wet sand so that they would stand proud on the shore all day long. Sometimes, when they'd filled their buckets, if they were a bit too heavy, they'd enlist the help of their servants to flip them over, always making sure to pat the top of each bucket a few times so that the castles would come out perfectly formed. Sometimes the young kings would enjoy building their sand castles so much that they'd forget about their other jobs. Sometimes they'd spend so long collecting shells and building walls and finding flags for their castles that they wouldn't even notice that the tide was starting to come in until it was already lapping around the edges of the castles nearest the shoreline. Eventually, the sea would be spotted and the cry would go out.
Oh no, the sea! sea frog and the smash our castle.
But it was no use. For who could stop the tide? Who could tell the sea to turn back? One of the young kings was very sad at the idea of all their hard work being returned to the bottom of the sea. I'm a very great and important king, he thought. Surely the sea will have to listen to me. And he demanded that the water retreat and leave their sandcastles alone.
Sea, I demand you to stop coming in.
But the tide kept coming in, and soon the sandcastles were beginning to disappear. And eventually, the kings had to go home, knowing that their sandcastles would have to be built another day.
Oh, so kings can't just do what they want?
No, there are some things even kings can't do.
Like control the ocean.
Yeah, like control the ocean. But actually, George, there is one king who could control the weather.
What? That's crazy!
And in fact, Mark's going to be talking to us later about a king greater than Nebuchadnezzar.
Huh?
Greater than Hezekiah.
Huh?
Greater than David or any of the other kings in the Bible.
Who is he?
Well, he could walk on water.
What?
He could make people better just by touching them. And he could even bring people back from the dead. And he's such an amazing king that he can even deal with our biggest problem.
What's that?
He can forgive the bad things that we've done. And it's King Jesus.
Wow.
Now, sometimes kings are really scary and important and we can't get to know them. But Jesus doesn't just want to be king of our lives. He wants to be our friend. So I'm going to hand over to Adam and Janie, who are going to sing our theme tune, I Am a Friend of God.
Yeah!
Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me is amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me God Almighty, Lord.
Thanks both. I do love that song. It's so beautiful. Wonderful. Bless you, Adam, Janie. Thank you for that. Now, since the beginning of the year, we've been looking at the various messages from lockdown. And we've been learning, more particularly from specific characters and situations in the Old Testament. In fact, I think George and the crowd reminded us about Hezekiah and Nebuchadnezzar, etc. But they were in, the people who were under their rule and whatever, or even their situation, they were under a particular type of lockdown. But today, until Easter, in fact, we're going to begin to look at some lockdowns in the New Testament and look at it from that perspective. And more particularly, stepping back to consider the broader, the bigger lockdown picture that goes way beyond coronavirus, in fact, and yet it affects the whole of humanity and has done, in fact, since man first walked this planet. But it's not always seen, and it's certainly not always recognized. And of course, those bigger lockdown issues are identified in the Bible along with under this dynamic of the spiritual lockdown. And that which is a battle or a war for life, particularly which humanity faces and finds. And we all face it. We all fight, in one sense, this battle every moment of every day as we live in this fallen and broken world. And I've tried to get that image here. But things that we've noted, in fact, in recent weeks, as we've been looking at these other characters. And of course, we become even more aware of this whole area as we come to know Christ, as we become Christians. It becomes more and more visible. It becomes more and more obvious because we are in Christ. And it's through that perspective, that understanding of the presence and the person of God, and that was, of course, manifest particularly in the life of Jesus, that these things are brought to the surface. They're highlighted. And it's interesting, even at the prayer meeting on Wednesday evening, we touched on some of this battle which was going on. But using the phrase from our verse for the year last year, of course, which you'll remember, won't you? Yeah, perhaps. Anyway, here's a reminder. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That was our verse for the year in 2020. But it's taken from the Lord's Prayer. And so our theme today is on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. That of being and seeing our world and desiring our world to be just as Jesus did. And he still does, of course. But to see God's kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And to certainly enable us as his children to live and to bring in life that is in heaven, but bring it to reality here on earth. Which is why, of course, he gave us those words to pray in the first place. Crucial. Now, we take a lot for granted today, I believe, as Christians. We've got all the history and the understanding and the teaching of the church over the centuries. But if we go back, Jesus and his coming into this world, even though he came as a baby, it hailed a whole new way of seeing and understanding of the world. A whole new spiritual dimension was made clear. It was not that spiritual dimension and that spiritual stuff was not around and didn't exist before he came. Far from it, in fact. And the fact the Old Testament is full of things which were in battle against God. But Jesus coming helped to define it. And the coming of his light, as the light of the world, of course, shone upon these areas and shone into the darkness and exposed these things like they'd never been exposed before. Things which were at that point hidden and unclear. And that, of course, namely, was the work of Satan or the devil and that of evil and darkness. But Jesus gave it some shape. He highlighted it. He gave it some form to help us firstly to see it when it's at work and also then to identify where and the ways in which we can see our way through it. But before we look at that one specific incident, and read a passage from Luke's Gospel that, in fact, records this very change that Jesus brought and how he dealt with it, I want to remind us, it's good to remind ourselves of the nature of this battle and how the enemy conceals his activity. And the Apostle Paul summarizes this really well in Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Now, you see, the enemy is subtle, and it's pervasive about how he works, bringing captivity and lockdown of sorts into people's lives as part of everyday life, in fact, and or normal human experience. And it's all done through these powers and these forces, these rulers in the unseen world, without getting noticed, of course. Yet, when we come to Christ, when we become a Christian, and we know Jesus in our lives, we become aware, and we see, and we recognize the broader, bigger spiritual battle that's going on. In fact, just a few weeks ago, we looked at that story with Elisha and his servant. Elisha could see the heavenly armies in the hills, but his servant couldn't. He had to have his eyes opened. And so when we come to Christ, we see things on a completely different level, things that previously were hidden to us. Now, the enemy's work, much as it still is today, was in those days, back in that time, so much part of life and society. There were these previous people groups, and the way they worshipped and what they worshipped was just absorbed. And Jesus and God was quite clear that he wanted them to destroy these things and to clear it out, because he wanted him to worship. God wanted man to worship him and people of Israel to worship him. But, you know, these things eventually, because they didn't clear the land, sat alongside the worship of God, and it all got confused, and in fact in some cases caused some of the circumstances that they faced. And it, slowly but surely, everything started to settle in, and the brokenness and the sinfulness of humanity, you know, these things were part of the root cause of that. And that's the case for today too. And it's all very much accepted, isn't it? This dark, unseen stuff. Because we grow up with it. It becomes part of our lives. Especially here within the West. To the extent that it's even welcomed and encouraged by some in society as being a very natural, even a positive part of life and human experience. But you see, when we come to Christ, we realize, actually, that isn't the case. You know, the false gods aspect, the idols, the objects of worship, of evil spiritual deities and the powers, they may all be cloaked in modern day guises, but they are still the evil rooted, deceiving and destructive forces that they've always been. Much of the time, completely unbeknown by those who would seek to follow these ways and worship them, although they probably wouldn't realize that they are. Yet it's interesting that when God's presence, that pure Holy Spirit light of God, comes into that lockdown situation and God's presence is felt, the unseen becomes seen. The darkness and the evil is exposed. It can't remain hidden anymore because of the light of the world. The unclean, deceiving activity of the enemy is routed and shown up for what it really is. The enemy's power and his position and his authority is then compromised. and through Christ is then removed, allowing human beings to be set free, to be healed, and to be delivered. So with that bit of background, I want to take us to a particular incident. So let's read from Luke chapter 4. But I also want to encourage you to read a little bit more widely as well. And I've put the reference there for Luke 11, verses 14 to 28 as well. There's lots of what Jesus taught, which give a further background and further understanding to this whole thing. But I want us to read this particular incident. And it comes from Luke 4, verse 31 to 37. Then Jesus went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and taught there in the synagogue every Sabbath day. There too, the people were amazed at his teaching, for he spoke with authority. Once when he was in the synagogue, a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit, cried out, shouting, "Go away! Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus reprimanded him. "Be quiet. Come out of the man," he ordered. At that, the demon threw the man on the floor as the crowd watched. Then it came out of him without hurting him further. Amazed, the people exclaimed, "What authority and power this man's words possess! Even evil spirits obey him, and they flee at his command." The news about Jesus spread through every village in the entire region. It's an incredible incident. And this whole thing, we came very close to the outset of Jesus' ministry, his earthly ministry. And quite soon after his time in the wilderness, when he was tempted by the enemy himself, but then when he stood in that synagogue in Nazareth and declared his manifesto, as it were, for what life really could be about. And this is a clear demonstration that what Jesus brought in was a clash of kingdoms. The kingdom of God and the verse in the kingdom of darkness. And more specifically, it highlighted the bigger spiritual battle which was going on in the heavenly realms, being waged over the centuries. Yet Christ's ultimate authority, his power and his position within those realms, and the passage actually said his authority, is powerfully demonstrated here too. It's awesome, isn't it? And it's something which it seems to be outside of our understanding, isn't it? It feels as though this is not how life is for us. But of course, you know, it clearly also demonstrates God's love for mankind too. And his desire to see humanity set free from any and all of these forces and powers that were keeping them in lockdown. Keeping them bound up and preventing them from entering life in all its fullness as they were designed to live. The same forces that stand in the way of people finding salvation and finding true healing and being delivered and set free. That was the core of Jesus' ministry here on earth. Just read the Gospels. You've got it. It's all over it. It was to bring in the kingdom and the rule of God. And he did have that authority, which Rich referred to, even to command the weather. He had ultimate authority. And through that, it was to bring a release to humanity from these forces, these powers, and from the enemy's grip. And of course, in the process, to deal with sin, which is a pathway where these evil things, these unclean forces, get a foothold within our lives. And I believe that should be the core of the ministry which we have as God's people, as the church. It is the gospel. And so when Christ came, he was paving a way for how life could be lived once he had gone back to heaven. It was not his intention that things should revert to how they were before he came, which, as we've already identified, was not always recognizing these things. No, but rather, through his power, through his insight, we can now identify these things and we can see it. And we can live more under that rule of God in this kingdom of heaven rule rather than the rule of earth. We need to live under kingdom principles, to live the life in freedom and fullness. And of course, ultimately, that was won through the cross and his resurrection. And I believe that's the very core, and that's the heart of our commission under God as well. So through Christ, we've been given the ability to live in victory rather than in the defeat of lockdown, of sin and darkness, and that enemy's rule. It's because of Christ that we are not defeated. Because of Christ, we can be free. And this picture, this image, is exactly what Christ did on the cross. He stood on these powers. That means you have ultimate authority. He had ultimate authority. And that's how Christ can set us free too. We've been given that authority. And even the root to rise above the enemy's grasp. To bind the strong man. That's in that verse, those verses from chapter 11. To stand against the darkness and the evil that seeks to ravage and steal and paralyze humanity. And to stand against the lies and the deception that makes us captives and leads us down the road to death and eternal separation from God ultimately. No, we are no longer slaves to this. We're no longer in that place if we are in Jesus. We do not need to be controlled by these things. So why do we, even within the church as believers, still live and act as though we're still under the curses of sin and the lies of the enemy? We are in the world, but we're not of it anymore because we've been delivered of it through Christ. We don't need to be bound by it or controlled by its ways if we are in Christ. Obey the laws and the governments of the day, yes, recognizing that that's the right thing to do under God. But at the same time, to be prayerfully standing and rising to be those new creations that God has given to us. Living under the new set of rules, under a new authority, and living for a new master. Now this takes radical and a fundamental shift in how we see the things of life on earth, and how we live, and how we make the decisions which we make. It's about living with discernment and a different mindset. We need to live in a whole new paradigm, a whole different framework of life, knowing that we are Christ's, knowing that we are Christ, our identity is in him. Because that's how Jesus looked at the world. He looked at the world through godly eyes, through a different way. And that's how he wants us to live too. It provides that motivation then for sharing it, for wanting to see other people set free, those who are still trapped by the enemy's grip. Lord, help us to do this. So just as before we move towards communion, I'm going to pray. So let's ask God to help us to get to a deeper understanding of this stuff, but also that God might equip us to do it. So let's pray. Lord God, open our eyes to see all that Jesus has done for us. To see the battle that's going on in the heavenly realms. A battle which we're fighting too while we're here in this world. But more than that, Lord, we want to know the victory that you won for us at the cross. We want to know it afresh today, so that we can live and know by the power of your Holy Spirit the freedom and the fullness of that life that you've secured for us. So, Lord, where the enemy seeks to trap us or lie to us and keep us captive to sin or ungodly ways, we ask, O God, you would expose them by your great light in our lives, so that we can stand and we can declare who we are in Christ and that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that we are free, and that we will rise up and overcome the enemy's deceptions and his schemes to keep us locked down and out of all your blessing. Lord, we pray as we share in communion now that all that you did, the incredible sacrifice and the love that you showed to each and every one of us, will bring a new release within us, a fresh impartation of your love into our hearts and lives. Come, Holy Spirit. Come now afresh, we pray. Meet with us and fill us with your resurrection life and power. And equip us and empower us, we ask, to take and share the good news with others. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come to communion. Let me just remind you that if you've not got your piece of bread or your small drink of wine or juice, then do go and grab those. But God invites us. So come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. To help us to prepare to take the bread and wine, something which, for those of us who have been in church for years, is quite familiar. But sometimes we just need to pause. We need to think afresh and recognize all that God's done, the amazing stuff which God's done. And so we're going to read a passage while Adam plays. And it's taken from Isaiah 53. Those incredible prophecy about Jesus and all that he went through to win our salvation and our victory. So perhaps you just want to shut your eyes and receive these words. Allow them to minister to your spirit. My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was like led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as the sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong. He had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier, because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. So, in the light of those wonderful words, let's pray the words of confession now. Heavenly Father, I confess my sins to you, the sins of the past and of the present, those hidden and forgotten, as well as those remembered. My sins of thought and desire, of word, of deed, and of omission. The sins that I am too dull of heart to see. The sins that others can see and I cannot. The sins known to you alone. I'm sorry for all of them. I ask you to forgive me through the merit of Jesus, my Saviour. Please renew your life in me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you have your bread or your cracker or whatever, just take it. And if it's a big enough piece, just break a piece off. Because that's the reminder of why Christ came. He wanted to heal a broken world, and he did it by allowing himself to be broken. So, Lord God, we want to thank you that you came the way you did. Thank you that you came when you did. Lord, thank you for the great sacrifice. and for allowing yourself to be broken. For giving up your authority at that point to be under the power of man to bring death and the power of evil to separate you from your Father. But thank you that it was only temporary. But you had to go through with that so that we might be set free. Thank you, God. Thank you. And as we eat this bread now, remind us afresh of this amazing sacrifice and the amazing love that you gave to each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's eat together. And if you want to take your wine, your juice, if you've not yet poured it out, then perhaps you want to just pour a bit, like I'm doing now with this wine. And realize that it's gone from one place, one container to another. And that's exactly what happened to God through Jesus. This formed a bridge. He gave himself and his blood, his very life, so that you and I could then receive and know Christ and know God ourselves. So Lord, we want to thank you for the blood that cleanses us and sets us free. For the blood that has broken the powers of the enemy, which would seek to keep us bound and held up. That you have truly set the captives free because of all that you did on the cross. Thank you, God. We receive this now with grateful and thankful hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's drink. So, Lord, very simple earthly elements, but they express such a heavenly and divine dimension to life. So, Lord, help us, I pray, to go forward into this week, into the rest of this day, knowing that we are on your victory side, that we have our sin has been defeated. The enemy is defeated. He's under our feet as he was under yours because we are in Christ. And therefore, Lord, we can live in a whole new way. Help us, I pray, not to allow the things of the earth to get too big, but for us to rise up and overcome them in your power and in your authority with your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing our final song. And wow, what a song. You'll love it. Be Thou My Vision. Isn't that what we want? Let's sing our hearts out and claim this for ourselves. Yes.
Be Thou My Vision. Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my consort, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my Be Thou my wisdom, be Thou my true word. I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. my King of heaven, my victory be mine. May I reach heaven's joy, bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever before, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Oh, wonderful hymn. I love that. It's so full, isn't it, of all that God's done for us and what he wants to see us be and do. If the Lord has spoken to you today in whatever way and you want someone to bat that off and to chat it through, then there is the tea and coffee time and that time for prayer and ministry there. Or you could email or chat to life group leaders, whatever. But let's do that journey and let's live in this victory which we've been given and won. So yeah, bless you as we go forward this next week. Thank you again for joining us, and let's just remember that Christ truly is Lord. We're going to have our service brought to a close by Tammy and the girls, who are going to share the grace with us. So bless you and thank you.
Good morning, UBC. Please join in with saying the grace together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ,
love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen.
Bye.